Apple has launched its annual Black Friday sale, but this year, instead of directly discounting its hardware, the tech giant is offering a $150 gift card with purchases instead. Some other coveted items this season? The new Xbox One and PlayStation 4 gaming systems. Overall, it's been a big year in tech, and Hiawatha Bray is with us now with more. He's tech reporter for the Boston Globe and author of the forthcoming You Are Here, a book on the modern history of navigation. So, Hiawatha, let's start with those new consoles. The PlayStation 4, what do you think?
It's a gaming system. No, seriously. See, it's always dangerous to look at a gaming system as soon as it comes out because the early games do not take full advantage of all the technology.
Right.
I mean, look at right now, the games I've played on the PS4 look about as good as the previous generation of games. Come back in a year or two and you'll see stuff that'll blow you away because all the software developers will have had a time to really master what you get. Xbox One, though, could be a hugely important move in gaming because Xbox One isn't just a game console. It is an attempt to basically unify all of your home entertainment stuff in one console. For example, you plug it into your cable TV set-top box and you don't tune in programs by going to your cable box. You tune in the programs on the Xbox One.
Uh-huh.
It has its own built-in guide to tell you everything that's going to be on TV. If you're playing a game and you suddenly want to see what the score is in the football game, you can actually keep playing the game and pop open a window on your screen and see what's on Monday Night Football, things like that. That is a new approach to gaming. And of course, there's also the speech recognition stuff. You control the TV by talking to it. You say, turn on the TV, turn me to CBS, stuff like that. That's all in the Xbox One.
So what about, for example, the things that now seem completely ubiquitous, and those are tablet computers. I mean, I'm seeing them everywhere from the high-end ones to smaller ones that the kids are,
Oh, absolutely. They are just taking over because so much of what we do with media is absorbing it rather than creating it. I mean, I have a tablet. I don't use it as much as other people because I'm a writer, so I need a keyboard and I'm constantly writing. But for almost everything else, tablets have become extremely attractive alternatives to the PC, which is one of the reasons why sales of PCs continue to drop like a rock. And not just Windows, Macs. The sales of these things are all falling.
Now, when you say PCs, do you mean just desktops or desktops and laptops?
Oh, desktops, laptops, both of them. People are just not buying as many of them. One really cool thing, it's been around for a while, but I think it's just getting better and better, is the Chromebook, which is the one thing that's happening in personal computers that is really growing. Those are these super cheap, about $200 laptops, very limited capability. They don't run Windows or Mac. They run something called Chrome OS created by Google, and you can use them for writing stuff, surfing the web, looking at videos, stuff like that. And they are about the only segment in the PC market that is growing. They're getting like 5% of the market. They are so cheap. Last time I looked, 4 of the top 10 laptops on Amazon.com were Chromebooks. And I've tried them, and I love them. They're really great. They wouldn't be your primary computer. But if you wanted to have a second computer for casual use, for taking on short trips, they're a fantastic alternative.
So it's interesting to hear that Google's making really strong inroads into this space. What
right.
about the companies that usually we think of as dominating? What's been going on with Microsoft and Apple?
Microsoft is a company that has, to a considerable extent, lost its way. Windows 8 is in many ways a complete, well, it's not a totally awful operating system. It's just sort of pointless. We're not really sure why it is we're supposed to use these two different paradigms. I should say that Windows 8.1, where they've made, like they brought back the start button and made a few other tweaks to make it easier to use, it is a significant improvement, and it is not as confusing and annoying as Windows 8.
Yeah, it was interesting to me that one of the biggest stories out of Microsoft for the latter half of the year had nothing to do with technology, but rather major corporate restructuring that they were doing to sort of, refresh their corporate culture to maybe make it more innovative.
Absolutely. And of course, their decision to buy Nokia, which is a huge move on their part. No telling how that's going to shake out. Because you can understand their frustration there because Nokia is the leading maker. In fact, practically, for all practical purposes, they're about the only maker of Windows phones. And Windows phones are good. That's the interesting thing about it. When I first used a Windows phone, I was like, why in the world, if Microsoft was capable of doing work this good, why haven't they been for so long? They could have owned the smartphone market if they could have gotten to the market quicker with something like this. But it's just not selling. It's gaining some ground in Europe and Asia, but in the U.S., Americans just aren't buying them.
So what about for Apple? Because, we got used to, in the world, according to Steve Jobs, see these like major design leap forwards.
Right.
The iPhone 5 seems to be pretty impressive. impressive. The 5C, a little less so. What didn't well, have that wow factor?
The 5C is the iPhone 5 in a plastic case. Really, they improved the camera, took the rest of the electronics, stuck it in a plastic case, and charged $100 less. They're going, quote unquote, down market. But it's only $100 less. And certainly in developed markets like the United States, nobody's going to give up all the other cool features of the top-of-the-line phone to save just a lousy $100. So it hasn't sold that well. It's not a flop, but it isn't selling anywhere near as much as the iPhone 5S. The 5C isn't selling all that well in the rest of the world because what people really want are dirt-cheap phones. And that is an interesting story because Apple's share in the worldwide is way down. There's something like around 15% of the world smartphone market because the rest of the world just wants to get the cheapest thing they can get their hands on, and they're buying up these Android phones that are much cheaper than the iPhone. Same thing is now happening in tablets, by the way. Apple's market share in tablets worldwide is collapsing.
This is interesting to me, Hiawatha, because I've always considered, or many people have always considered Apple as, this is what happens to them, right? They'll break new ground in mm-hmm. sort of a new space. They'll be market leaders. Others will rush in. They'll lose their market share. And then they look to, they create an entirely new space and a new way of thinking about technology. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what direction might Apple or a forward-thinking company go next? I mean, smartwatches?
Yeah, you hear stuff like that. I mean, look, I've wrote about the smartwatch. I'm sorry. You know, forget that. I've tried them, and it's a classic solution to a problem that nobody's got. All of the available smartwatches now are basically data terminals that are connected wirelessly to a phone that you're carrying, and they're showing you what the phone, you know, the phone has in incoming email. You can read it on your wrist. You got an incoming phone call, you can see it on your wrist. Okay, why don't you just use the phone? Use the phone, all right? Use the phone. The Galaxy Gear $300 device, when it first came out, it didn't even work unless you also had a $600 Samsung smartphone in your pocket. Now it's being connected to even, you know, some of the cheaper Samsung phones. But the fact remains, you have to have one of these advanced phones to use it. And I don't really see the point. You see, what you'd really want, if for this to even begin to work, it would have to have all the functions of the phone
in the watch.
On your watch.
Yeah.
And nobody can do that yet.
Well, finally, Hiawatha, what's your favorite new gadget for this year? The thing that you just now can't imagine your life without.
Oh, dear. I got to tell you, the one I bought, which is going to be weird. I bought myself an HTC One smartphone. I just love it. It's very fast performing, gorgeous screen. It's got that. It's got a nice user interface where you can immediately see your calendar appointments. Mm-hmm. You see incoming Facebook messages, Twitter feeds, and all that. It's beautiful, and it's made by a company that's in desperate straits and liable to go under at any minute. It's weird. HTC is this Taiwanese phone company that's done a fantastic job making products, but it's a very badly run company, and they're losing sales and market share. But I just personally thought that that was my favorite new phone of the year, and when I saw it, I went out and bought one. I liked it that much. So, yeah, I would have to pick that as my personal favorite gadget of the year.
Hiawatha Bray, tech reporter for the Boston Globe, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
So Hiawatha is choosing a possibly soon-to-be-obsolete smartphone. What's your must-have gadget of the year? Let us know at hereandnow.org.
Funding for Here and Now comes from Lumosity.com. Dedicated to improving memory and attention with neuroscience-based games for the brain at Lumosity.com. And Oxfam America, on the ground in the Philippines, delivering emergency aid to survivors of the typhoon. Learn more at OxfamAmerica.org.